Many scientists believe that human evolution has been proven based on skull fossils that have been found in recent history. They say these fossils point to our ancestors and how we evolved. But do they really prove that we are the product of evolution?
Evolution is the most successful lie of the enemy that's been used to sway men against the truth of their creator.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. The evolution of humans has been studied for years by paleoanthropologists and other scientists. Claims have been made confidently that we can see the different stages of man's evolution based on fossil finds throughout the world. Most of these fossil finds include the remains of skulls. Do these skull fossils really prove evolution? Are these scientists right? Or could these fossils mean something completely different? Why not join us for the next 15 minutes as we learn about skull fossils, scientific assumptions, and the meaning of man's existence? Fossils have been found in several different parts of the world in recent years. These fossils are primarily the remains of skulls, although different body bones have been found as well. Very often, the fossils that are found are not complete. They're only fragments of a skull or other bone. Dave Phillips is professor of paleontology at the Masters College. He discusses that among the bones that have been found, there is a great lack of articulated or complete skeletons.
These remains are almost always highly fragmentary. We don't find nice, neat, articulated skeletons. You find little teeny fragments remains, perhaps a part of a jaw or mandible. Or you might find a piece of a limb bone, or you might find a few fragmentary bones from one individual skull. When it comes to the alleged sequence of human remains said to demonstrate evolution, we find this completely wanting. We do not find the intermediate forms necessary to document that. They might have, for example, one individual bone that represents, by their way of thinking, hundreds of thousands or even millions of years in time. And again, these are highly fragmentary and subject to interpretation.
Dr. Thomas Kendall is founder and president of Reasons for Faith Ministries.
They have primarily fragmentary evidence, which is a real problem, because if we're able to find thousands of ancient human remains, enough of the skeleton to tell jolly well that it's a human, and in many cases we have found remains of fossil apes, and there's plenty enough evidence to show they're nothing but apes, why can't we find enough evidence of a true hominid or ape man? Why can't we find thousands of them like we have found thousands of ancient fossil human skeletons?
Even though during discovery just fragments are found, scientists will make some substantial assumptions about them. We'll now look at some examples of that very thing, including some hominids or ape men found in recent history.
We can go back, for example, to the Piltdown Man case, which is very famous nowadays, but there they had just portions of a skull, part of a jawbone, and that was supposed to be sufficient to indicate that this was a hominid. Of course, later investigations showed this was not even a legitimate fossil, that it was actually chemically treated to make it look like an ancient fossil. Fluoride analysis of the bones, which were supposed to have been 500,000 years old, showed that they were relatively modern.
Marvin Lubinow is a professor at Southern California Bible College and Seminary.
In the 1960s, Louis Leakey discovered a number of bits of fossils in Olduvai Gorge in Tanzania that he felt were above the Australopithecine grade and deserved to be called human. Because these fossils were found in association with simple stone tools, he called them Homo habilis, which means man with ability. These fossils involve teeth, fragments of skulls, hands, feet, lower arms, and lower legs. Although none of the body bones were found in association with the skull bones, Lewis put them all together to create the much-needed transitional form between the Australopithecines and humans.
Dr. Kendall.
We also have the case of course, the well-known Nebraska man, made out of nothing but a pig's tooth, because they drew the picture of the ape man and his wife with all these details of how they looked. And, of course, nobody could get all that information out of just a tooth. Later investigations showed that it was just the remains of an extinct peccary, a kind of a wild pig. UPI News released a report May 14, 1984, and revealed that a fossil skull fragment had been found, and it was touted 1 year earlier as the oldest human fossil ever discovered in Europe. But it appears now that it had come from a young donkey. The fossil specimen had been discovered from the Andalusia region of Spain, and thereafter hundreds of letters were sent out inviting anatomists and anthropologists to attend a 3-day symposium where they would examine and discuss this fossil, which had been dubbed Orseman, since it had been found near the town of Orse in southern Spain. But when some eminently qualified French experts were allowed a preliminary examination of the fossil, they revealed the fact that the so-called Orseman was most likely a skull fragment from a 4-month-old donkey. That, I think, is an honest assessment. When we look at the current evidence, the evidence that keeps coming out in the media, we have to ask ourselves, is there an agenda behind it? And you have to realize these paleoanthropologists, if they're not making finds, they don't get research grants, they don't get their name in the paper, they don't get to publish. Nowadays in science, it's publish or perish. And they have to have something, and when you're desperate, you've got to come up with something.
Some other misunderstandings of fossil fragments date back to the early 1900s.
For example, back in 1926, a Reuters report in the Daily Press of September 27, 1926, announced the discovery by Professor Heiberlin and a government physician and amateur geologist of what was said to be a complete skull of the type of Pithecanthropus erectus, the well-known so-called Java man skull. And its similarity to the Java man skull was reputed to be so great that reporters began to refer to it as, quote, Java man's brother. After further research, a retraction was printed in Nature magazine, admitting that the initial overzealous assessments were grossly in error. The supposed skull cap of Java man's brother turned out to be nothing but the top portion of the humerus bone, or in other words, the knee bone, of an extinct elephant.
It has been substantiated that fraud has been committed in the past. However, most scientists have good intentions, even if they are based on evolutionary assumptions. But do these kind of misunderstandings still happen? Dave Phillips looks at a skull fossil found very recently in Dimanisi, Georgia, in the former Soviet Union.
A most recent example of that would be some material that was found in the Republic of Georgia, which used to be part of the old Soviet Union, where they recently found a fragmentary skull cap, skull remains, and other fragmentary limb bones.
Marvin Lubinow.
The fossil recently discovered is a very small skull, about 600 cubic centimeters in volume, but very complete and beautifully preserved, together with a mandible, that is a lower jaw, found close by, which quite certainly belongs to the same individual. These fossils were found in August 2001 in the Russian Republic of Georgia, which is located between the Black and the Caspian Seas. The fossils were found about 66 feet from two similar, less complete but slightly larger fossil skulls found in the summer of 1999. All of these skulls have been classified as Homo erectus and have been dated at about 1.75 million years before the present.
Dave Phillips.
This is said to be, you know, the most important evidence outside of Africa that changes the entire interpretation within paleoanthropology. Well, that's because within each fossil, you have to fit that into your model somehow. So you have to maintain a human evolutionary model while still allowing fossils that don't fit your model to be interpreted within that.
But a strange thing happens when new skull fossils are found. Each new fossil seems to be more important than the last. Why is that?
What's really fascinating is almost every single time that evolutionists, particularly human evolutionists, find an individual fossil, they always tend to bring that to the forefront as the most important fossil find to date. Now, the problem with that is that they're only interpreting fossils based on the assumed fact of the theory of evolution. And they're not even considering the possibility of design in what they look at. In many cases, the fossil material that is being represented as man's human evolutionary ancestors may be unrelated to human origins at all. But rather, in some cases, there's this constant twisted logic And this is one of the reasons why every new fossil seems to argue or demonstrate something far beyond its validity.
So there truly haven't been any complete skeletons found that are half ape and half man, and that clearly prove human evolution could have happened. Dr. Kendall.
It's been nearly 150 years since Darwin proposed his theory. They've been working and searching incessantly across the earth trying to find credible evidence. And after nearly 150 years, they have primarily fragmentary evidence. If we're able to find thousands of ancient human remains, enough of the skeleton to tell jolly well that it's a human, and in many cases we have found remains of fossil apes, and there's plenty enough evidence to show they're nothing but apes, why can't we find enough evidence of a true hominid or ape man? Why can't we find thousands of them like we have found thousands of ancient fossil human skeletons?
These fossil finds seem to contradict accepted evolutionary theory. What causes some scientists to hold on so tightly to them as proof of evolution?
We have to understand evolution is the most successful lie of the enemy that's been used to sway men against the truth of their creator and accountability to their creator. And so many of these people, although they profess that they're purely objective and scientific, they really have a very strong emotional reason for wanting to have evidence for evolution, which means they're beholden to no higher power, to no creator. They can be their own god, write their own rules, and run their own life, and never have to be concerned about being called to account by a higher authority, namely a creator.
So if humans haven't evolved from apes, what is our origin and reason for existing? Marvin Lubinow.
The evolutionists do not have a firm or a comprehensive definition of what constitutes a human. Some say erect posture, some say large brain, some say bipedal locomotion, that is walking on two legs. The scriptures state clearly that the main difference is our being made in the image of God. That's an image that is both moral and intellectual.
Dave Phillips.
We maintain as creationists and Christians that man was created and designed from the beginning. There's good evidence in the book of Genesis that the early patriarchs practiced music, that they were capable of building great structures, and that these individuals were intelligent from the beginning. Certainly there's been variational change in man down through time. But we maintain a better model when we look at fossils is to argue that man was created by a loving, caring designer creator, none other than Jesus Christ. And by having a relationship with him, that we can have true meaning in our lives.
Thank you for joining us for today's broadcast. If you'd like to learn more about skull fossils, just ask for the article entitled Origin Issues, which is in last September's Acts and Facts. You can get it when you contact the Institute for Creation Research or go online at www.icr.org. Just ask for it free of charge when you get in touch. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800, the number 7, and the word Genesis. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. If there's a topic you would like us to cover on the program, then email us at radio@icr.org. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.